third thing that I want you to see here, and that is, as we look at the hard saying of Jesus, excuse me, I didn't get it in there. I'll have to give it to you. The third thing that I want you to see about this hard saying in verses 39 and 40 is the judgment of God. If I didn't get that on the outline, somewhere I got my wires crossed here, include that, the judgment of God. Number one, I wanted you to see under the specific settings of the passage was the purpose of Jesus. Number two, under the specific settings was the response of the crowd. Number three, the judgment of God. Whenever we talk about God and man, we get into this very difficult area of the sovereignty of God and the responsibility of man. It's a difficult discussion. But I want you to notice now how this passage lays it out. Watch the sequence of events in this passage. First, Jesus taught the people. We have that from verse 23 all the way through verse 36. In fact, the entire Gospel of John up to this point in time is about Jesus teaching the people. Secondly, verse 37 tells us that he had done many signs and wonders. And they had seen the miracles that he did. They were witnesses to what he had done. The purpose of his miracles was to confirm who he was and what he said. Over in Hebrews chapter 2, just jot down the reference, Hebrews chapter 2, in a discussion of the gospel message, the writer of Hebrews says that God also, bearing witness of who Jesus was, bearing witness both with signs and wonders, God was a witness to who Jesus was, the Messiah, through the signs and wonders that Jesus did. And Jesus here in John 12 reminded the people that he had done miracles. They had witnessed his miracles. But third, again in verse 37, they did not believe. Even though he had performed great miracles, and the Old Testament had told us in the book of Isaiah that when the Messiah came, he would come doing miracles. And Jesus fulfilled that prophecy of the Messiah. Even though Jesus did what the Messiah was supposed to do, they did not believe. And then fourthly, verses 39 through 40, God judged them. He blinded their eyes so they could not see the truth. He hardened their hearts so they could not believe the truth. The specific setting of this passage is that Jesus told them he was the Messiah, the promised one from God, and that as the Messiah, he had to die. But the crowds reacted against what he said. They did not believe what he said, and God brought judgment on them. So finally, the explanation. The specific setting of these verses is a Jewish setting. It's even more specific than that. It's a Jewish setting at the time of Jesus' life and death. These were the people, the ones he's speaking to, who had a front row seat into the life and ministry of Jesus. They had watched his life. It was sinless. They had witnessed his miracles, which testified to his deity. They had listened to his teaching, which came from God. But in spite of what they heard, in spite of what they saw, they chose not to believe. They closed their eyes against Jesus. They hardened their hearts against what God was doing. And so God simply let them go their way. They chose to close their eyes, and God confirmed that choice. They chose to harden their hearts, and God confirmed their choice. God was not going to force them to believe. They had made up their minds, in spite of the evidence that they had seen, that Jesus was not for them, that he was not the Messiah. Jesus was not their choice. Now, you might wonder why. I know we would all like to think, boy, if I had lived back then at the time of Jesus and I had seen his sinless life and I had listened to his teaching that came straight from God and I had seen the miracles, I would have believed. I would have followed Jesus. Why would anyone turn away from Jesus? Why didn't they believe? John tells us. Look at verse 42. Nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. There were people even among the rulers in Israel who knew that Jesus was the Messiah. Now, I don't know if they had saving faith or not, and the commentators are divided on this. Some say, oh, they had saving faith. That's what it means to believe. Some say, no, they didn't have saving faith. They might have believed he was the Messiah, but they didn't believe in him for eternal salvation. It's clear from the passage that they knew who he was. The phrase, they did not confess him, is an intriguing phrase to me. I think it's a key phrase. And it's very possible that what that means is they did not confess him as their Lord and Savior. The Bible tells us if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Confession is part of that process of coming out of the world and coming to God. And they did not confess him. They did not confess him as Lord, apparently. Why was that? Because the opinion of men was more important to them than the opinion of God. They were more concerned with what would happen to them on this temporary earth if people learned they were followers of Jesus than what would happen to them in eternity. The statement of Jesus in verses 39 and 40, and those are our difficult statements today, was made in a very specific setting to a group of very specific people who were in some very specific circumstances. And so let me give you this morning some takeaways for this. The first one is, God is still using the same process today. We saw the sequence of events in this passage, the teaching of Jesus, the miracles confirming his teaching, etc. Jesus taught about God. He performed miracles to show he was God. And the next step in the process should have been they believed. But this is where the process broke down. They didn't believe. Now, God is using that same process today. We have in the Bible the teaching of Jesus. We have in the Bible a record of the miracles of Jesus. We have in the Bible his life that we can look at. And that should lead people to faith in Jesus. And anyone who comes to him in faith, believing that he is the Son of Man, will be saved. But the process sometimes breaks down in people's lives. They hear Jesus. They learn about what he did, but they don't believe. And the process breaks down today the same way it did in the day of Jesus. The second takeaway that I want to give you is there is still the possibility of judgment. Jesus said back in John chapter 3, and look at this with me. Turn your Bible to John 3, very familiar passage of Scripture, but we often stop short. John 3:16, we can all quote it, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." And we stop there. But follow verse 17 and 18. "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Jesus came to save us. He did not come to condemn us or to judge us, but for those who do not receive him as their Lord and Savior, their condemnation is already in place. You see, there are only two choices for any of us. There is a choice of Jesus, and there is a choice of judgment. Do you remember some of the old game shows on TV, door 1, 2, and 3, and you got to pick door 1 or door 2 or door 3? It's very similar to that, only there are two doors. Now, in the old game show, you didn't know what was behind the door. Didn't you love it when somebody won, you know, the car behind the door, and they'd go ballistic and jump around and hug the host and all the rest? The difference is that on our doors today, one says Jesus and one says judgment, and every one of us get to choose one of those doors. God does not delight, the Old Testament says, in the death of the wicked. God's love made it possible for us to be saved, for God so loved the world that whoever believed in Jesus. Jesus came for the purpose of dying, for the purpose of saving people. And so we come back to our original question, can anyone believe? And the answer is yes. Anyone can place their faith in Jesus. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Anyone who calls on the name of Jesus can be saved from their sin and made part of the family of God. Our difficult statement today was made to a specific generation of people who, in the face of overwhelming evidence, in the face of clear evidence, in the face of the evidence of the Messiah standing in front of them, rejected him. And because of that, God closed their eyes and God closed their hearts. Now, folks, there is still judgment today. All of us are either going to come to Jesus or we are going to accept the judgment that we have chosen. God has not blinded your eyes. God has not hardened your heart. He is saying, come. The invitation of Matthew is, come unto me, all you who labor under the burden of sin and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's speaking of an eternal rest in heaven with God. A rest from sin, a rest from the trials of this life, a rest from the sickness and the sorrows of this life. All you have to do is come. For those of you who are watching today, for those of you who are listening today on your telephones, all you have to do is come. Anyone can come to Jesus. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. As I pray today, I'm going to pray for you that you will come. Each week, we boost our sermon to folks within a 50-mile radius of our church. And almost every week I get comments back from people who have watched it that we don't know, people who don't live close to our church. They've watched our service. They have comments. They have questions. They have requests for prayer, etc. And when they have requests for prayer, we stop and we pray for them. We try to respond to those comments. If you are watching today or throughout this coming week, and you have never received Jesus, but you would like to know more about it, please write to us. I'll answer you. I will share with you what the Word of God says. All you have to do today is confess Him as your Lord and your Savior. I want to pray for you this morning. Father, we pray today for anyone who is listening to our service over whatever means they are listening, and they don't know Jesus Christ. They're like the people in John chapter 12 who have not yet believed. Lord, touch their hearts, open their eyes, remove the hardness of their hearts, that they might come to faith in Jesus Christ. Lord, you sent Jesus to be our sin bearer on the cross. You sent him out of your love to make a way for us to be made right with God. Lord, touch hearts today and change lives. That is our prayer in Christ's name. Amen.